Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to everybody here in the room and everybody watching by Facebook. We welcome you to Texas House of Prayer, to our Sunday morning service. Texas House of Prayer, once again, is located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. Out here in the middle of nowhere, if you are up for a challenge and you want a good outing on a Sunday morning and you want to try to find something and try to find us, we are inconveniently located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. And if you go through all the effort it takes to get here, you may want to stay for a while. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. The title of my message to you today is Preaching the Gospel, Part 1. Now, I have been preaching a series on the family, and we have put that on pause this Sunday. As I'm preaching again, we decided at the beginning of the year that the Lord was leading us to once a quarter do two different things. One is to preach a message and teach a message to the body of Christ on the importance of evangelism and all the things involved with that, how to, and get into some specifics and try to encourage everybody to be more evangelistic in our walk in life. And then the second thing that the Lord wanted us to do was to preach an evangelistic message. Last quarter, we swapped it around from what we're doing this time. I preached the evangelistic message, and Jason Tate brought the encouragement to the body and the teaching and training to the body. This time, I'm teaching the body of Christ about evangelism, preaching the gospel, and Jason, next week, will be preaching an evangelistic message aimed at speaking directly to the hearts of people who don't know the Lord or who are not walking with Him, calling people to faith in Jesus, repentance from dead works, and faith in Jesus, and to a new life in Him. So I want to encourage everybody to bring people if you can, and if not, at least tell everybody you know to either watch it live or sometime that week so that they can get the benefit of hearing a gospel message preached, calling them to repentance. And that's extremely important, as we will find out today. So this is an honor and a privilege to be able to teach the people of Texas House of Prayer and also people that are watching from all over the world in different places. It's an honor to stand before you and to bring the Word of God. And I know those same people who watch me faithfully watch the other messages that come forth, and they get benefit from the messages that Brother Jason Tate and Brother Dustin Lewis bring. God is using this place for His glory, and we are so thankful for that. Mark chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 15. And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples after He ascended. And right before, right after He rose from the dead and right before He ascended into heaven. And these were some of His last words to His disciples. And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Once again, this is Jesus's some of His parting words to His disciples, telling them what He wanted of them in His absence. He wasn't going to be there leading them in bodily form anymore. He was going to be leading them by His Spirit. And He was going to be leading them to continue the works that He began in His earthly body. And He said, Greater works shall you do in My name, because I go to be with the Father. The works that I do, and even greater works, shall you do. So these are what he has commanded his disciples to do. So let's break this down. I cannot stand that term unpack, but I'm going to use it because Jason wants me to use it. Jason loves this term. We're going to unpack this passage, and I never mind. Let's just do it. Go ye into all the world, he says. Go ye means ye go. Ye means you. Ye means me. Everybody say, ye means me.
Ye means me.
Me is a ye. Me is a ye. Say that. Okay. When he says, go ye into all the world, he's saying, you go. That's to every one of us. I was talking to a man one time. It was so sad. He was old enough in the Lord to know better than this, but I was mentioning this passage in order to talk about something else. And I said, the Lord told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, well, he didn't tell me. I said, it says it right in his word. He said that to other people. He didn't say that to me. And I said, so you pick and choose from the Bible what you think applies to you and what doesn't. People have all kinds of weird ideas about things. I heard another guy recently saying that what he said in Mark recorded here in Mark chapter 16 about going to all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs shall follow them that believe. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and they'll speak with new tongues. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And all the things that he was saying there, he was saying that, this preacher said, Jesus was saying that to his disciples that were standing there, to the apostles, not to the rest of us. He was a dispensationalist and he was of the opinion that the dispensation of miracles and God doing mighty things has passed away. And this is one of his excuses of how he could rationalize that in his mind. He said, what he said to the rest of us is what's recorded in Matthew chapter 28 about teaching them to observe all things, to make disciples of people. That's what the rest of us to do. The apostles were the ones that to do these. Brothers and sisters, that is Matthew and Mark are both two different people recording the same conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. In Matthew's gospel, he wasn't having a separate conversation, telling them something different. It's just what the Holy Spirit impressed upon Mark to write, he wrote, and what the Holy Spirit impressed upon Matthew to write, he wrote, but it was the same discourse from the same Jesus to the same disciples. This was written to us. The go ye is go me. He's speaking to me. But that word go is not an imperative. This is interesting. You know what imperative means? It means it must happen. If you say to your children, clean up your room, and you really, really mean it, then when you say clean up your room, that's an imperative. It must happen. When I come back in 30 minutes, if this room isn't clean, we're going to have further discussion on the matter. And it may involve pain for your good. But the go in this passage is not the imperative. The word go actually means as you are going, or as life or the Lord takes you. The verb go in this place is something that is being done continually. It's like having the ing on the end of an English word. It's continual. Going. So as you are going, and it's also something by the, there's several different things in the Greek that helped us to understand the meaning. There's mood, there's tense, there's different things. And one of those identifiers in the Greek language, and this isn't a language lesson, just bear with me just for a moment. one of them shows us that this is being done continually. It is not a one-time thing. And it also is something that is happening to the subject. The going is not something. The subject of the sentence, as we remember in our lesson, would be you. You go. You is the subject, noun. Go is the verb. But the verb is saying this is happening to the subject. In other words, as you are being led or as you are being taken into life, as life takes you or as the Lord leads you, then preach the gospel. Go ye, as you're being taken, into all the world. This is another interesting thing here. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, this was before he had died on the cross and was buried, raised again, and before, obviously, his ascension. This is when he was training his disciples, telling them how to minister in his name. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Do not go to the Gentiles. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely as you have received, freely give. Go ye into all the world. Into all the world, first and foremost, means going to all people. Jesus was saying the time of preaching to just the Jews is over. The Jews have rejected me. They turned their back on me. Now that allows the Gentiles to come in to the kingdom of God, as well as any Jews who believe. Anybody who believes is now able to come into the kingdom of God. So when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he was saying, I don't want you just to preach to the Jews anymore. I don't want you just to preach in the area where the Jews live. I want you to go into all the world. Going to all the world means to go to all people on every continent, from every country and confederation and kingdom and nation and tribe and family, the whole world that Jesus spoke of in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. See, that's where he wanted to get to begin with. But he first had to give the Jews an opportunity to receive him as Messiah. He knew that they wouldn't. His plan was that the world would be saved. But according to his promises to Israel, he had to give them the opportunity to receive their Messiah, which they didn't in mass at that time. Praise God for it. That allowed us to come in. Every creature means also all of creation. Go ye into all the world. So he's saying, go into all the world. That's not just Israel, but all the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. That means all of creation. Once again, he is stressing the fact that everybody now should and could and must hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God coming. Into all the world also means everywhere in this world where we go. Into every home, every office, every place of business, every place of entertainment, every place of recreation, every store, everywhere. Go ye as life takes you. Remember that go is being done to the person. The going is things that you have to do in order to live life or to obey the will of the Lord. As you go, preach the gospel. As you go into all the world, preach the gospel. A misunderstanding of this verse has led some to travel to distant lands and go there as missionaries because they have misunderstood that Jesus was saying, first and foremost, include everybody. And secondly, he was saying, wherever life leads you. When you have to go buy something for food, when you have to go pay your bills, when you have to go see somebody about a horse that got out of his pasture and is now in their pasture, wherever you go, preach the gospel. So people didn't understand that when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. They thought the only application that it was to leave home, leave where they are, and go to somewhere else in the world. Thank God for those who did give up all to go to a faraway land in obedience to the call of the Lord that they felt in their heart. We thank God for those people who have done that in the past, who are doing it now, and who will do it in the future. There is nothing wrong with getting up and being sent somewhere else for the kingdom of God's sake. However, the same misunderstanding of this verse has also been the excuse that millions upon millions use to do nothing and will give up nothing of their lives in response to the command of the Lord because they are not those who are called to anywhere else in the world. They just live in Cleburne. They always have, they always will. Or Alvarado, or Joshua, or Fort Worth, or Tulsa, Oklahoma, or fill in the blank. Wherever they live, that's where they live. They don't feel impressed to go anywhere else. And I'm not telling anybody to go anywhere else. It may be the will of God that you spend all your life in the town that you were born in and raised in. There is nothing wrong with that. You don't have to go to the deepest, darkest places in Africa. You don't have to go to outer Mongolia. You don't have to go to somewhere exotic or dangerous in order to obey the Lord in this command. All you have to do is love Him enough that as you go, wherever you go into the world, to use that as an opportunity, if at all possible, to preach the gospel. So because people don't feel any urgency to go somewhere new and dangerous and exotic, to uproot and be a missionary, well, God was speaking to those people to do it. He hasn't called me anywhere, so I'll just live my life. I'll go to the store as anybody else. I'll do my business as anybody else. I'll meet people in the street as anybody else. Brothers and sisters, He's called us to be ambassadors for Him everywhere we go, as we go. We don't have to uproot and go anywhere unless He tells you to. If He tells you to, obey it. It's like this one guy was saying that, you know, he didn't want to be a preacher. He didn't want to give his life to the Lord, because he felt like, since he was a young kid, that God may call him to go to Africa. So he lived his life running from God because that's the last place in the world he wanted to go. He didn't want to live over there. He wanted to stay where he was. And so he ran from God. He did all kinds of weird and horrible things. Lived his life for himself. And one day, after being tired of being dirty, being tired of knowing that he was a sinner, being tired of knowing that he was running from God, he finally surrendered to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, I'll even go to Africa. And the Lord said to him, I never called you to Africa. That's not where I want you to go. I want you to be saved, born again, filled with my Spirit, lead your friends to the Lord, live in your community, be a light in the darkness where you are. I never called you anywhere else. He spent his whole life running from something that God never even was going to use him for. How many people just assume things, and as a result of it, miss out on the will of God for their lives. Once again, let me say, if God is calling you to Asia, Africa, Indonesia, Mexico, South America, wherever, if God is calling you somewhere, get prepared for it, be trained, be sent out, be constantly encouraged, continue to be a part of the family that you're being sent out from, the spiritual family you're being sent out from, but by all means, be obedient to that call. Everybody else who is not called to somewhere else is called here. And what is here? It's just there without the T. Everybody wants to be called there or thinks that if it means anything, it's God's doing something there. Well, here is just there without the T. Here is somebody else's there. You ever thought about that? You know, some people are feeling like in order to serve God, they've got to move to somewhere in China. And there's some Chinaman somewhere thinking, in order to serve God, I got to go to America. And God may do that. He may take an American to China. He may take a Chinaman to here. He may put them in the exact same town they left from and never even knew. He may do that for His glory. But we can't live our lives based on a misinterpretation of the Scripture. God wants you to live for Him right where you are. And if there is a there in your future, He will get you there. Amen? Go ye as you are going, as life takes you, into all the world, everywhere you go. Now, here comes the imperative. Preach the gospel. That word preach is the imperative in that sentence. That is the non-negotiable. That is the word that is a must do. That isn't if you are particularly gifted in that area. It isn't if you feel the anointing, if you sense anything. How many of you believe that your children need an anointing to clean their room? No, all you need is a command and to obey that command. We don't have to have an anointing or the feeling of an anointing in order to obey this command. It is the imperative. Preach. And the word preach means to herald, to noise abroad, to announce the good news as though a public crier, as a public crier would do. Back in the old days, before they had the internet, before they had radio, before they had all the different conveniences that they had, the newspapers that they had sometimes were way late on getting news to you. So how do you get up-to-the-minute news of what's going on, of important things going on in a community? They would have people that would go through the town announcing and shouting the news. The king has been dethroned. The king has been dethroned. Hear ye, hear ye. The queen is rejoicing. The queen is rejoicing. Hear ye, hear ye. A public crier going throughout. Preaching the gospel is like a public crier, someone who goes in and announces the news. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 tells us that God is the one who chose the foolishness of preaching. Now, this is God's words here, because He knows to man's mind it is foolish. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It wasn't man's invention. It's not my invention. I detest from my flesh the thought of doing it as much as anybody else. It is much a stretch on me as it is on anybody. Some take to it more naturally. Some take to it and have no issue with their flesh. I have always struggled with my flesh in regards to preaching the gospel into all the world. It's always an effort on my part. It's always a trusting of the Lord. It's always an act of obedience on my part. But praise God, I am an obedient servant. I will obey Him. And I know most of you, many of you, will obey Him also. And if you're not doing so now, you will as you go forward. In order to preach, you must communicate with words. Listen to me. In order to preach, you must communicate with words. And most times that means intentionally using spoken words. Intentionally using spoken words. Going without intent and expectation, or going with intent and expectation, is then followed with preaching with intent and expectation. So as we go into all the world, as we are going, as life sends us, as the Lord sends us, we're going to the store to buy certain things. We're going with intention of that, but we're also going with intention that the Lord may open an opportunity for me to speak to somebody here. Going gets us to where we can preach. Preach is an action verb that is in the imperative mood. We talked about that. This is not optional. It's imperative. The Lord has made it thus. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye from the housetops. Acts chapter 4, beginning verse 18. And they called them and commanded them. This is Peter and John. After the believers were going everywhere, preaching the gospel, turning the place upside down. And the religious leaders that were not Christian, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, were upset that this was taking place. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. What did they do that they were finding offensive? They were speaking. They were preaching. They were teaching. Words were being used for the glory of God. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, a witness, just think about any witness in any court throughout our land. A witness is someone who gives evidence of what he or she has seen, heard, or otherwise experienced. The blind man who was healed when Jesus made clay and put it upon his eyes, and he was blind, and he went and washed, and he was able to see. The Pharisees came to him and to the parents, and were questioning him, who did this? And what kind of man was he? And he said, I don't know. The only thing I know is once I was blind and now I see. Now that man didn't have a lot of theology at that point. He didn't have a lot of Bible understanding. He didn't have a lot to go on, but he did have this, and he had it very strongly in him, that somebody touched me and it changed my life. A witness is somebody who's had an experience with God, who may not have all their ducks in a row theologically, may not understand everything perfectly, may not be able to teach a class on it or a course or anything else, but they are people who have received enough of the grace of God that they can tell somebody else, it changed my life. While being a good person may help other people see that something is different about you, and that difference may be that you're a good person or a religious person, it will not be enough to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Seeing your life being changed, seeing your life being different, seeing you not swearing, seeing you not cheating, all those things are good, and God wants us to display those characteristics in our life. But all that does is show somebody else that something is different about you. It does not tell them how they can be different. Salvation comes to those who have been touched by the Spirit of God through the preaching of His Word, the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Once again, we're unpacking this. The gospel is the good news, the good message. And just in a nutshell, this isn't theologically complete, but it is enough from a bullet point standpoint to help you understand what things should be in the gospel. That Jesus took upon Himself the form of a servant and became a man. He humbled Himself to bring salvation to us. And even though He lived a totally sinless life, He took the punishment for the world's sin, including separation from the Father, as the full weight of sin, the world's sin came upon Him. He was tortured until He was unrecognizable, then nailed to a Roman cross where He openly and publicly died for all. This was a death that each of us deserved as rebellious people who have lived an ungodly life. Jesus took upon Himself the punishment that was due me. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sin away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus came to pay the debt that I could not pay. The gospel is the good news that because of Jesus' substitutionary death, man does not have to die in his sins and spend eternity in hell. The gospel tells us that if we recognize our true spiritual state, which is lost, then we turn to God, repent of our rebellion, receive His sacrifice made on our behalf, and confess Him openly as our Lord, then we can be born again by His Spirit and become transformed for His glory. We don't have to live a life of sin anymore. The gospel teaches people that they don't have to live that life anymore. We don't have to hurt ourselves or others anymore. We can spend eternity in heaven with Him. The gospel teaches us that we can spend the rest of our days on this earth as His child instead of living as His enemy. The gospel tells us that we can receive all of the benefits that His torture and death purchased for us in this life. And that we can walk in newness of life. We can be a new creature. Old things passed away, released from that of the old, and walking in newness of life. We can be His followers, His disciple, and in His family. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We can walk in divine health. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have power over the evil one and over our flesh. We can preach this good news to others and give them an opportunity to escape hell and to spend eternity in His holy presence. That is the good news. If you're okay living like you are, if you're okay with the sin and the guilt and the shame, if you're okay with that, then stay there. As Brother Leonard Ravenhill used to say, if you want to go to hell, then go to hell then. I'm preaching to people who want to escape hell, who know that eternity awaits on the other side of this life, and there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If that's real to you, then the gospel should be good news. We're going to finish up today by looking at different reasons why people do not go and preach or preach as they are going. First of all, a lack of the word of knowledge of the Word of God. They're not really understanding the Scripture, just as the man said, he didn't speak that to me. Well, they don't understand the Word of God. Perhaps you feel inadequate in yourself. This is something that held me back for a long time. I felt totally inadequate. And one of the things that I did as a result of it, because I wanted to obey the Lord, I wanted to be a witness, I wanted to preach the gospel, I wanted to be sent of the Lord to different people, and as I went, preach the good news of His kingdom and of His soon coming. But I didn't know how to do it. So I began to immerse myself, first of all, in the Word of God, and then secondly, in books written by people who were teaching people how to overcome their fears and discomfort. I remember when I didn't have a lot of money available, purchasing a Christian book in order to help me get to a better place in my ability to witness to people. I cherished it. I prized it. I wanted that knowledge. I sought it out, and I began to allow that to come in and wash over me and help me. You may be here today saying, I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to start. You're not alone. You're not someone who's the first person who's ever experienced feeling inadequate for the job. You're not alone thinking that other people can just naturally do it. Nobody else in the whole world has had to deal with the thoughts and fears that you have. No, brothers and sisters, you're not alone. Almost all of us, not all, but almost all of us have had to deal with this in one form or another. False doctrines concerning our responsibilities. Somebody telling you that all you got to do is live your life in front of them. All this preaching and everything, that's just driving people crazy. You know, just live a good life and they'll see it. Well, we've already discussed that. They may see it. They may even think, oh, he's a great person. But that is not going to teach them how they can be saved. God chose the foolishness of preaching. If it's foolish to you, don't worry about how foolish it seems. God chose it. Fear of rejection. Well, if I go up there and start talking to them, they're just going to shut me down. Anybody ever had somebody shut you down when you're witnessing to them? Let me tell you, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen a lot. More people will shut you down, tell you they don't want to hear it, get away from me, no thank you, and all kinds of negative things than they ever will say, please tell me more. But we're not there for the ones who shut us down. We're there for those who say, please tell me more. And how do we find them? The diamonds are in the dirt. You got to dig a lot of dirt to find some diamonds. The diamonds are in the dirt. There's no way, there's no place on earth that you can just walk through and pick up every diamond that you want, bags and bags and bags of it. If there ever was that kind of place, somebody else has already found it. You got to dig for the diamonds. You got to work for these, to find these people who want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a lot of rejection, and it's not always comfortable. But you know, they rejected Jesus. And the disciple is not above his master. So if they're going to reject him, they're going to reject us. If they're going to say no to him, walk away from him, turn their back on him, they're going to do the same thing to us. I think I can live with that. I think I can gain strength from him and live with that reality. People sometimes lack the Holy Ghost power and boldness of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he told his disciples, "But ye shall receive." This is just right before he ascended on high. He said to his disciples, "You will receive power after the Holy Ghost hath come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Once again, he's telling them to go into the uttermost parts of the earth to all people, but receive the power of my Holy Spirit to help you be witnesses, to help you back up the fact that God is alive and well and changing hearts and lives and even healing folks today. Another reason why people find it difficult to go and preach is because they believe the lie that others do not want salvation or ever will want it. As I already said, many won't. But to think everybody is going to reject it is not true. People, and even if they don't at the time you're speaking, you never know what's going to be turning over in somebody's mind as they're trying to sleep. You're long gone, but your words, which are the words of God, are still working in their life. You know what tracts are, don't you? Those things that you can pass out, T-R-A-C-T. I read this thing one time, and I wished I had a copy of it. This guy was saying, "I always wondered why they call it a tract." Now, he then moves from tract to talking about track, T-R-A-C-K. He said, "Now I know, because once I read it, it tracked me everywhere." He said, I couldn't go anywhere without it tracking me. It's tracking me down. I go into my bedroom, try to sleep. It tracks me there. I wake up in the morning, try to go to work. It tracks me in the car. It tracks me to work. We never know what the Word of God, what effect it may have in somebody's life later on. We just need to be obedient to preach. And then lastly, consumed with the cares of this life. Why are people not preaching the gospel? They're more concerned about making money. They're more concerned about being popular. They're more concerned about being one of the cool people. They're more concerned about their own agenda. They're earthly minded. They're promoting different agendas, different answers, different solutions. What they're doing is preaching a gospel, but it's a false gospel. You know, some people think that if only everybody would be educated, if only we would have a school system that correctly educated everybody to a high level, then the world would be a better place. Now, I'm not all for stupidity. I'm not all for being dumb and not understanding how the world works when you need to know it and how the kingdom of God works. But, you know, just having an education and being wiser in the things of the world only makes you a wiser criminal, only makes you better and more efficient at doing evil if you don't have a heart change. Education is not our Savior. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. The world's education is not our Savior. And to go forth, and that is the gospel that you're preaching, you are preaching a different gospel. Lord, help me not to be one that goes around preaching the gospel of anything else other than Jesus. Oh, that's too simple. God never intended for it to be complicated. It's simple in concept, but it's difficult because you have to lay your life down. You have to let everything else go. You have to realize that the wise of the world are foolish in the eyes of God. Coming with a different agenda and carrying some sort of thing which only affects certain people. Anybody who knows me knows I'm not a racist. Anybody who knows me knows that I don't allow the color of somebody's skin to dictate to me whether they're worthy of God's love or my love. But you will not catch me being an evangelist for Black Lives Matter, for Hillbillies Lives Matter, Redneck Lives Matter, anything like that. I will not be the spokesperson for something less than what God has called me to be a spokesperson for, and that's His kingdom. We love people. We lay our lives down on behalf of people. And it doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what country they come from, what language they speak. We love people because He loves people. But we love them enough to tell them it's Jesus and Him only that can make a difference in your life. You preach another message and you are hurting the gospel of Christ, not helping it. Amen. So we'll end there today, the end of part one. There's a lot of things we didn't cover, but I want you to see that He called us. First of all, go ye as you're going, as you're being led, as you're being taken through life, into all the world, wherever you go, whether He calls you to another land or whether the refrigerator calls you to the store. Go ye into all the world and preach, proclaim with words the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that a correct understanding of Your word brings life, brings us into a place where we can more effectively obey You, where we can more effectively seek You for the answers that we're still don't have. And we can wrestle correctly with the things that hold us back. And we can seek You for the power that we need. Lord, help each and every one of us to be more effective as we go forth to preach Your gospel into all the world. Lord, we love You, and it does matter that we honor You by obeying You. And it does matter, Lord, for those who are dying, lost, and headed for a devil's hell, that they would have an opportunity to know You as well. Lord, help us as we go forward. Help redirect our thoughts and reorganize our lives if need be, so that we can accommodate Your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.